Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States, performing more than 300,000 abortions every year, more than a third of all abortions performed in the country.
National Right to Life President Carol Tobias talking about her presentation at the one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Planned Parenthood operates as a nonprofit, yet in its most recent annual report, the organization showed revenue of $1.6 billion, about a third of those funds coming from U.S. taxpayers. The organization talks about the healthcare services they provide, but always, always at the top of its list is so-called reproductive health care, the killing of unborn children.
You can meet and hear Carol Tobias making the case against Planned Parenthood at the 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. A flurry of activity, both in support of abortion and trying to curtail abortion. It all kind of started when the complexion of the U.S. Supreme Court began to change. Will the U.S. Supreme Court see any of the laws that are so, well, in some people's minds, so controversial for others of us who want to see the unborn protected? It's about time, we're saying, to things like Georgia's law and Alabama's law and Missouri's law as well, curtailing the access to abortion and saving the lives of countless unborn children. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about state abortion legislation. Carol Tobias joins us. She's a regular guest and president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We recently spoke with David French of National Review, and he was talking about the Alabama law that effectively ended abortion in that state. And he said, in his opinion, if maybe seven or eight states had similar laws, the U.S. Supreme Court would have to address the issue at some point. In that vein, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled earlier this week on a pro-life law. What happened there?
Well, the Supreme Court, they were asked to take up a case from Indiana that had two sections to it. One said that after a child has been aborted, the remains have to be taken care of in a humane fashion, you know, whether it's buried or cremated. You can't just throw the baby into the dumpster or have some medical waste company take care of it. The second part said that you cannot get an abortion if the reason you are getting the abortion is because you do not like the race or sex of the child, or if the child is going to have a disability. And the court on the first part said, we have no problem with you requiring a humane disposal for the child's body after the abortion. That does not affect whether or not a woman can get an abortion. As to the other part, whether you can get an abortion based on the child's race, sex, or disability, the court said there is not enough disagreement among the circuit courts yet. So they didn't rule against it. They just said it's too early for us to get involved.
Okay, so I'm curious about a kind of side story there, that Justice Clarence Thomas, what did he have to say about Indiana's abortion law in particular?
Oh, Thomas's response was absolutely amazing. He talked about the eugenics of abortion and how the black community has been targeted, of how there are more black babies in New York that are aborted than born alive, how the rate and ratio of abortion among the in the black community is so much higher than that of white, you know, babies being aborted. He was just very strong, and he said the court was wrong. We are going to have to deal with this because abortion is not in the Constitution. It was a very forceful statement, and he was not shy in taking on Planned Parenthood and its eugenic origins.
So he actually acknowledged in this opinion that what pro-lifers have been saying for a long time, that as an industry, abortion had eugenic origins.
Yes, yes. And he specifically mentioned Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, Alan Guttmacher, who was one-time president, which is why the former research arm of Planned Parenthood is called the Guttmacher Institute, named after a former president. He specifically mentioned all of them in his statement. It was pretty harsh, but it needed to be said.
Let's talk about some of the other states, what's been happening around the nation with regard to laws that have been passed, beginning with Louisiana. What's happened there?
Louisiana is one of the most pro-life states in the country, and they are passing laws to protect unborn children. They did it just recently in their Love Protects, Act. But they've been doing this every year, just finding, more bills to pass, and a lot of them end up going before higher courts because they have state officials that will defend them.
In Illinois, largely recognized as a safe haven for abortion on demand, what's happening there?
Oh, Illinois has a horrible bill that is going through the session. The House has approved it. The Senate needs to vote on it, but their last day for session is tomorrow. So we are hoping that pro-lifers in Illinois are contacting their senators and encouraging them to vote no or to not act on it. But the bill would repeal current law that they already have, like requiring parental notice before a minor girl gets an abortion. It would repeal their ban on partial birth abortion. It would exempt abortion facilities from any real investigation or safety standards that would be required for any other medical procedure. It basically takes away all conscience rights from healthcare personnel and institutions that they can't say that they object to participating in the death of an unborn child. Abortion would be allowed for all 9 months of pregnancy. I mean, Illinois is going full bore, no restrictions, no limits, nothing to stop or interfere with abortion in any way.
Is this going beyond anything we've seen so far in any of the states?
It's very similar to what New York passed, and quite frankly, it's similar to what Vermont and Oregon already have in their state law. Some states really have gone off on the other end, just absolutely no protections for unborn children or their mothers. There will be no investigations in Illinois if there's a maternal death, resulting from abortion. They're going to look the other way. There are a few states that have that kind of law, and quite frankly, it is allowed under Roe v. Wade. It's just that most states have not gone that far overboard.
What's happening just across the river in Missouri?
Missouri has done a great job in banning abortions. At first they're saying we're not going to allow abortion after the baby's heartbeat is heard, and they place that at 8 weeks. Some states do it at 6. And then if that is overturned, that a court says that's not going to stand, then the law would say it's going to ban abortion at 14 weeks. And if a judge says, no, I'm not going to let that stand, then they go to 18 weeks. So they kind of have trigger points that if something is struck down, the next stage of development would be in effect. And then they also said, similar to the Indiana law, that you cannot get an abortion because you don't like the race, gender, or potential disability of an unborn child. And then they also passed an overall ban that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion will not be allowed in the state.
How important are those trigger legislation, those trigger laws that states are passing?
It can help. Some judge might look at it and say, well, I don't like this first exception, so I'm going to strike that down, knowing that the next one, could go into effect. Or a trigger law, like just saying once Roe v. Wade is overturned, we're not going to allow any abortions. Or I assume they would go in and maybe make a more clearly defined law, not just say, ban abortions, period, but that would be up to the legislature. My concern with all of these bills, yes, the goal would be to protect unborn children. I'm not sure a single one of them is going to make it to the Supreme Court. A federal judge is going to be asked to strike it down. Most of the federal judges are going to say this is not acceptable. It's not constitutional in their minds under what the Supreme Court has already allowed. And I don't know if there are any circuit courts of appeals that will actually take up an appeal from that first judge striking it down. It's possible that these laws could never get to the Supreme Court.
How do you think Alabama's statewide ban on abortion will fare?
I really expect a federal judge to strike it down, and I will be very surprised if the Circuit Court of Appeals agrees to hear an appeal from the state.
How can they refuse to hear an appeal, especially given the subject? I'm just thinking, this is, you can't argue that abortion is an issue that doesn't matter to the people of the United States, one way or the other.
It matters, but the courts are basically bound by precedents from the higher level court. So federal judges in a certain circuit are going to look at what the Circuit Court of Appeals in his or her area has already decided on any given issue. If he rules one way and the losing side appeals to the higher court, to the Court of Appeals, then the Court of Appeals is going to look at what the Supreme Court has already stated on a particular issue and whether or not they think this current law that they are being asked to rule on would withstand a challenge to the Supreme Court. And right now, since the Supreme Court has not placed many limits on abortion, or they have not said states can place strong limits on abortion, it's pretty iffy that any of these courts is going to say, we think the Supreme Court would uphold this, so, you know, we're going to let it stand. Well, I think what we need is a law that doesn't completely ban abortion, because the lower courts will strike it. But the Supreme Court doesn't need a ban on abortion to rule on Roe v. Wade or overturn Roe v. Wade. They can take any law that mentions abortion and decide they're going to use that to change the national law. So I'm not saying it's hopeless. Of course, we are going to get cases before the Supreme Court. I'm just not convinced that it's going to be the kind that are passing right now that ban all abortions. Those are the ones I'm not sure will actually make it up the chain.
I wanted to return to the Louisiana situation briefly here. Is it true that the Democratic governor of that state has said that he will sign this fetal heartbeat law?
Oh, yes. Yes. Governor John Bel Edwards is a strong pro-life Democrat. I've met him. He and his wife have a personal story of problem pregnancy that they had. It's just, no, he's absolutely solid. And there are pro-life Democrats in the country, which is why the Democratic Party on a national level is hurting themselves when they go so extreme on these issues, because there are pro-life Democrats. So, yes, Governor John Bel Edwards will sign that bill. He's a proud pro-life Democrat.
Does he have a political future in the Democratic Party at a national level?
At a national level, probably not. We see, you know, a couple members of Congress, Colin Peterson in Minnesota, Tim Lipinski in Illinois, the party is really trying to decide if they want to protect them in a primary next year. So it's tough to be a pro-life Democrat in Washington, in Congress. A lot of our state legislatures still have some solid pro-life people. Just on a national level, it's not acceptable.
I'm not sure, because I haven't watched it that closely, but is Georgia considered a pro-life state, and what do you make of its heartbeat legislation?
I think that's another one that it would definitely save lives. I would love to see it enacted. I fully expect a federal judge to strike it down. And if they do find someone who says, you know, I don't like the current law, I want it challenged, and I'm going to, you know, let this one stand, then the abortion industry will challenge him to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and then that's where it gets iffy. Are they going to agree to hear it or not?
Finally, Carol, how big of a subject is abortion going to be in the 2020 presidential elections?
It's going to be huge. I thought we would have the Democrats on defense, going after them for supporting abortion late in pregnancy, for not caring about unborn children who survive an abortion, for supporting dismemberment abortions where babies are killed by having their arms and legs torn off. Now that we've got these other bills coming, of course, the other side is going to start saying, look, they want to ban all abortions. They don't care if the woman's been raped. You know, they're going to make her go through with that pregnancy. So both sides are going to be inflamed. It's going to be a huge issue in, I think, almost all campaigns around the country. And it's going to depend on which voters get out to the polls to elect the candidates of whether they, you know, want to support unborn children and help protect them or not.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can meet and hear Carol making the case against Planned Parenthood at next week's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Child care is free thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund sponsorship. Find out more and register ASAP at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Carol, thank you very much, and we will see you next week.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see you and be at the conference.
Joy Pullman joins us on the other side of the break on this Thursday afternoon. We're going to talk a little bit about the recent grade, what should we call it, report card, the grades that are the results of Common Core, that model of education that's had 7 years to prove itself. What has it proven? We'll find out next.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
If you're at all interested in the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. This special issue of the magazine offers a wealth of information on the upcoming LCMS National Convention, including convention overtures, the national offering, and interviews with the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.